We are talking with Father Thomas Acklin. The Passion of the Lamb is his book, The Self-Giving Love of Jesus.
I think as you point out in your book, Father, that section on conversion as shrinking, that those people that we were just speaking about who embrace their faith, not only in their ritual, I mean, in the outward, but it also they bring it inward and they shrink, as you say, to themselves.
Exactly. Jesus, and this is something that, you know, over my lifetime and during my more than 25 years as a priest, this is something that has really only come deeply into my heart and into my own conversion, into my own spiritual life in the last 5 or 10 years, and that is how many times Jesus calls upon us to be like little children and to be the least, the lowest, the last, mm-hmm. the most little. And if anyone wants to have a wonderful experience during their reading of sacred scripture, to just go through the Gospels and see how many places there is a child,
mm-hmm.
a little one. There is someone who is reduced to the last or lowest place, and how this is the way in which the most powerful graces come. Christ's most powerful act, greater than any sign or miracle he ever worked, was from the cross. And there he was the least, he was the most despised, the most humble. And there is an active humbling of ourselves, which is not masochistic, it's not self-hating, it's not guilt-ridden, but it is a humility that loves and knows Christ. Being little and small like that is really necessary for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus said. And the conversion comes to these little ones. And anybody who really goes through powerful conversion in Jesus Christ is always going to have that experience of feeling like they've lost everything, only to find that the everything they thought they had was often a false security, and that Christ is powerful in his grace. The Catholic Church is going through much purification right now, and
mm-hmm.
it's wonderful, because I think this very process of becoming little in order to lead is taking place.
And I think in that, in being little, I know from watching my own children grow up, Father, that they saw so many things with their heart as opposed with their eyes.
Exactly, and that's so beautiful, isn't it?
I
just wonder, you know, I've always been a very sensitive person, but I can see in so many people this just most lovable, beautiful littleness. And even people who are rich and powerful, when they come to confession, when they go to pray, if come to spiritual direction, if they're doing it rightly, you just see this vulnerability, this nakedness. And, you know, as I say in the book, the vulnerability is, vulnerize, the Latin word for wounds. If we're vulnerable in the Passion of Christ, if we have our wounds and our vulnerability in his wounds, then there is a tremendous, tremendous transformation that takes place in Christ.
Right.
And it's so contrary to what we understand, given even in the Enlightenment period that we're emerging from over the last couple hundred years, to believe and to sit in a presence that we can't see.
That's right. And, you know, the Eucharistic devotion, the devotion to the Blessed Mother, especially in her more contemplative, humble acceptance of God's will, all of these things are so attractive to so many young people because it involves being quiet, listening, waiting before the Lord, becoming vulnerable before the Lord. The power that Eucharistic adoration has, even for very young people, Youth 2000 and some of these other wonderful movements have shown that, you know, you might say, oh, young people could never sit still in
mm-hmm.
front of the Blessed Sacrament. And yet, they find something there that, on a natural level, as well as on a supernatural level, they've been hungering for. There's nothing contemplative in our society, and they long for that. And in that type of adoration and in the prayer of the rosary and other Marian devotion, certainly in the Mass and in the other sacraments, this is where there's such a hunger for that kind of listening, that kind of silence, that kind of peace.
Yeah, and we really need that too, don't we, Father? I mean, we need to take time to wind down and pray.
Absolutely. And, you know, the argument or the pitch that I make is really for us to do that every single day of our lives, to certainly attempt to receive the Eucharist and to participate in Mass, but also to spend the quiet time, if possible, before the Blessed Sacrament, mainly listening, certainly pouring our hearts out, but always taking, I usually use the ratio, at least as much time listening as we've spent talking.
Beautiful.
And encountering Christ, you know, today so many people would rather have us, they would rather be told who Christ was than to experience them, him
right.
themselves.
And our liturgies, you know, sometimes have become so very full of words, and,
yep.
you know, that even the Mass, you know, so much activity, so much singing. I think the longing for the Latin Mass and for, you know, the Tridentine Mass and various things of that nature are not nostalgia. I think a lot of it is longing for the mystery.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. And longing to have the intimacy with Christ that sometimes all the talking, and even priests and religious people, find it too easy to just go on and talk, and often don't take the time themselves to pray.
Right.
It's so true, and it really hurts the faithful, ultimately, because it confuses them. I mean, when you have scholars that will look at the life of Christ and dissect it down to such almost too much, and then not even, you know, I'll be frank, the work of the Jesus Seminar.
Yeah, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And even I mention in my book, you know, the resistance to Mel Gibson's movie by many Catholics
yep.
and by many priests and scholars and people like this, because they argue that it is too literal and naive. You know, the tendency to really take the Gospels apart, as you were just saying, and to dissect them, and basically to take the life and the power out of them,
mm-hmm.
to be skeptical. It's that Enlightenment skepticism again, where everything is, you know, you sort of doubt everything and question everything, and then you become minimalist in what you believe. Well, you know, first of all, that takes away the power of the person of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and leaves us with a few historical data that, you know, some scholar or another has decided are probably true. And how do you allow yourself to know Jesus that way?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a, you know, just like a very energetic resistance in the heart of each one of us to, as Pope John Paul said, more and more toward the end of his life, to gazing upon the face of Christ. And
mm-hmm.
The movie showed, you know, that all through that movie, in The Passion of Christ, everybody's turning away from making eye contact with Christ.
Right.
And I think that that's what we do in our daily lives. I sometimes say, you know, practically everybody you talk to who's serious about their faith will say, I don't pray enough. And sometimes the reason is I'm lazy. Sometimes the reason is I'm too busy. The reason I think that most of us don't pray and don't just simply be still before the Lord is because we're afraid of the intimacy. We don't want to look at his face. We don't want to really see him and to allow ourselves to meet that love face to face, heart to heart, wound to wound.
And I think it's, for many of us, we don't really want to understand suffering. I mean, we say, how can God allow suffering? How can he suffer on the cross for us? But as you enter into that mystery, you begin to understand why we do.
Exactly, because it is the mystery of self-giving love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to give ourselves because we're afraid to lose ourselves. But as Jesus said, if we don't lose ourselves, we'll never find ourselves. And, you know, it's just the simple gospel message. We want to keep control.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to lose ourselves. We don't want to die. We don't want to have to give up anything. You know, Pope Benedict XVI said it so beautifully at the Mass when he officially accepted the chair of Peter as his successor. And he was speaking primarily to young people, but he said, be not afraid, as my venerable predecessor said, be not afraid of what Christ asks of you.
Mm-hmm.
He asks everything, and he will give you everything.
That's
and we
right.
have to, the, again, that has to be explicit. That can't simply be some sort of vague idea that I'm trying to steer my life by. It has to be explicitly lived out. And I think young people and many people today, many Catholics, really want to do that.
Right.
And often don't have the leadership or the support of their fellow Christians to do it.
Right. And I think a lot of people, Father, myself included at times, have that problem of literally dying unto oneself.
That's right.
That it is such a hard concept to really get around, but you need to take time in prayer to really explore that.
Well, that's right. And the only way to die to ourselves is to die in Christ's dying. I think that we, you know, for us it is not possible. You know, my good friend Scott Hahn was saying that in a talk just the other day. You know, he was saying that, yeah, for us it's not possible, absolutely not possible, but in Christ all things are possible. And the only way we can die to ourselves is by dying to ourselves in Christ's dying. And that's, again, the reason why the Passion, which reveals the very heart of God,
mm-hmm.
the way God loves, is the only refuge we have and the only source of strength, our only chance of really loving as we are able to do in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
As you bring us to the point in your book, Father, too, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has promised that we will rise with him. That's the victory. That's the reason for that suffering and that passion.
You know, and the resurrection of Christ shows us what this life means, and it shows us what even the suffering and the dying that we have is about. Namely, it is about new life. But again, the grain of wheat has to fall into the ground and die. And that dying is not simply the event at the end. That dying is all through life, dying daily, as St. Paul says in so many different ways, and doing all of this in Christ. So the big thing, I think, that you know, lets most of us, many of us Catholics, all Christians, really struggle more than we need to, is that we're still trying to do it on our own. We need to do mm-hmm. it only in Christ, and as explicitly and as totally in Christ as we can. Then I think we will find ourselves more surrendering than wearing ourselves out with our spiritual efforts.
That's what's so beautiful about your book, Father, because I think what you've done, I think it comes from your background as a psychoanalyst, and having listened to the stories, you guide us through that merging of ourselves and that shrinking to ourselves. And all the fears and all the doubts that will pop up, you, at the right point, address it and then continually, gently guide us back to that embracing of the Passion of the Christ.
Well, I never intended to write a book, but, you know, when I did write it, the editor had invited me, you know, you teach, you've studied, done all that. Instead, she said, why don't you just write from your heart and from your experience and from your prayer? And that's what I did. And, you know, it really is, the book contains, you know, what I have gained from the Gospels and from my own relationship with Christ, and also what I have seen in trying to help other people along the way of their path of conversion in Christ.
You have also just authored another book that was recently released by Emmaus Road.
That's correct. That's called The Unchanging Heart of the Priesthood, and it's written, it primarily focuses on priesthood as the radical self-giving love of a man who is called to the priesthood sacramentally through the sacrament of ordination. All of us are called to a universal priesthood by the sacrament of baptism. Some men are called also to ordained priestly ministry through the sacrament of orders. And In our times, there has been not only a shortage of priestly vocations, but some crisis of priestly life. And so in the book, I wind up focusing a great deal on sexuality, on celibacy, on intimacy in the priesthood. But I do this primarily in terms of intimacy with Christ. And then through that, the intimacy with other persons that a celibate man who is a priest is able to live out through the very special charism and gift of celibacy. And so it's a call for that. And it's a book meant for priests, but it's also a book very much meant for those who love priests and who want better to understand things about what exactly the priesthood is involved, what's involved in it, and not only the struggles, but once again, the only possible way for priesthood to be lived by a man is by living it in the one priest who is Jesus Christ. And I think that I am as confident about the priesthood in the Catholic Church as I am confident about the movement of the Spirit throughout the whole Church. Namely, there is powerful renewal. But we also need to be honest to look at the reality of our humanity, of our sexuality, of our own freedom of will, and to understand how those are taken up into the grace of priesthood.
We really would like to have you on again very soon, Father, to discuss that, because I think you're very wise in saying that it's not just for priests, but I think for the faithful who are raising the children, the men and women who are called to service in a special way, especially those boys who are being called to priesthood, that we nurture them and encourage them to follow that vocational call, because only through that will they find the peace that they're searching for. And I think there are more vocations out there. We're just squashing them.
Yes. So many wonderful men are coming into the seminary now. That picture is not adequately presented by the media.
Right.
And again, there's such great hope.
All right. Well, Father, we want to thank you very much for spending time with us. He is author of the book, The Passion of the Lamb, The Self-Giving Love of Jesus. And as you point out, Crucifixion, Passion, and Death of Our Lord really unveils, exposes, and frees us all. Father Thomas Acklin. Father, could you impart a blessing for us this morning?
I would be very happy to do so. May God, the source of all blessings, bless each and every one of us with the grace he or she needs most at this moment. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. God bless.